Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
But you run all these things through your head, you know, every scenario you can think of. I just know she would never, ever leave her family, you know, and just disappear. I'm just hoping that it'll get out there and get just that right person will hear. Or to be honest, I even would like for him to hear it, for him to know that we haven't stopped, you know, that we haven't stopped looking. We're not done trying. We're not done seeking the truth.
It's very scary. I didn't realize how many people were missing until it happened to us.
42-year-old Rhonda Day left her home in Lebanon Junction, Kentucky on July 28, 2018. She was headed to a friend's house about a half hour away in nearby Louisville. Her friend said that she arrived and stayed there until the following morning. When Rhonda didn't return home when she said she would, her grandmother became immediately concerned. This was not like Rhonda. They contacted her friend, who said that he had seen her drive away on the morning of July 29th. With no sign of Rhonda or her car, her family went to the police. On August 3rd, 2018, Rhonda's blue Chevy Aveo was found a little over a mile from her friend's home. Despite extensive searches of that area, no trace of Rhonda has ever been found. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 215 of The Vanished, Rhonda Day's story. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Back in 2018, Rhonda was living in Lebanon Junction, Kentucky, in an apartment above her grandmother. Rhonda and her grandmother were very close. It was just Rhonda and her cat who she adored. Rhonda also has a son who is an adult and no longer living at home. Her son has children, and Rhonda would often babysit her grandchildren. For this story, we spoke to Rhonda's aunt Melissa, and she told us more about who Rhonda was as a person.
She was very outgoing, very friendly. She loved to read. She kind of had a soft spot for, like, the downtrodden, the underdog, so to speak. So, I mean, she was a very caring person. She loved her family. Like, about 2 weeks before she disappeared, she was telling me, she said, "You know, I love my mom so much." She said, if something ever happened to her, they'd have scraped me off the floor. So, in my mind, somebody that loves their mother that much is not just going to up and disappear. You know, not let her mom know anything or anything like that. You know, I know that after she was gone, they found some writings that she had done, like, I think it was like a prayer list. And the things that she had on a prayer list were things like babies without moms, people that are hungry. You know, I think it was just like that she really had, you know, a heart for those that maybe other people forgot. And she had a cat that she'd had for 13 years, loved her cat. She would have never left it unattended.
We also spoke to Rhonda's cousin, Nikki. She told us more about Rhonda.
She is a very bubbly, friendly person. She's my cousin. We kind of hung out a lot, you know, growing up. In adulthood, we kind of lost touch, but very friendly, bubbly person, loved to just laugh and have a good time. We're very close-knit family, got together on all the holidays and everything. In Lebanon Junction, Kentucky, it is a very small town.
While doing interviews for this story, we had the chance to speak with one of Rhonda's friends, Shelley. She told us how she met Rhonda and they became fast friends.
Well, I met Michael, her brother. That's how I knew Rhonda, through him. And golly, we had a really good relationship, I think. We became pretty good friends. She's not one much to show emotions, but she was very loving and caring and on the inside. And we had a lot of things in common. She liked Dr. Seuss. I liked Dr. Seuss. She had cats that she loved. She had a ferret once upon a time that she loved. She liked to read. We watched scary movies. We became pretty good friends throughout the time that her brother and I were friends.
On July 28th, 2018, Rhonda borrowed some money from her grandmother, and she told her that she was going to visit a friend for the evening. Rhonda left her home, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Melissa told us that Rhonda's grandmother was the first person to realize that something was wrong.
She lived upstairs over my mother, and she had left. She had borrowed $5 from my mother for gas money. So we know she didn't have very much gas. And she drove from here to Louisville, which is about 30-something miles. Gas was like $2.89 right then, so it probably didn't give her but 2 gallons of gas. You know, maybe a little over 2 gallons of gas. We did go to the truck stop, and that is where she got gas. They remember her getting $5 worth of gas. And she went to her friend's house, a male friend that's supposed to be a childhood friend. She told my mother where she was going. She called my mother at 11:30 that night because Mom always left the door unlocked for her till she got in because Rhonda Faye never stayed away overnight. So she called Mom at 11:30. She said, "Grandma, I'm coming home, but it'll probably be later. It might be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You can go ahead and lock the door if you want to." Mom said, "No, I'll leave it open for you." So when she didn't come home the next morning, my mother immediately called me and said, "How do you report a missing person?" And I said, "Who's missing?" She said, "Rhonda Faye." And I said, "What?" She said, "Well, she went to Steve's house and she never come home." And I told her, "Well, Mom, she's 42 years old. If she wants to spend the night, you know, at a male's house, we don't like it, but we can't really do anything about it. We really didn't think anything." She said, "Well, I don't like it because Rhonda Faye always comes home." And so then when she didn't come home the second night, then we called the cops and reported her missing. I wish we had done it the first 24 hours because I think that would have been important. But, you know, when you're 42 years old, you might go somewhere and spend the night somewhere.
Rhonda's family began contacting anyone they could think of who may have spoken to Rhonda. Shelley says that she was concerned when she learned that no one could get in touch with Rhonda because it was just so out of character for her.
Really, at first, you know, we just kind of thought maybe she just hadn't come home. And, you know, it got to be more than 24 hours and it was, you know, a couple of days. And, you know, she has animals at home that she very much adores and would not leave them for anything in the whole wide world, you know, without care and without letting somebody know that she wasn't going to be there. So, plus she lived with her grandma, too, that, you know, she stayed with her and would not have, you know, not let anybody know that she wasn't going to be back. I'd say within 24 hours of her not coming back home is when I found out. I know that they were putting out flyers and, you know, calling all of her friends.
When someone goes missing, it's crucial to try to retrace their steps in an attempt to locate clues. Nikki told us some information that they've been able to gather regarding the timeline of the night that Rhonda was last seen.
She was just visiting a friend that night. I mean, everything was normal, you know, that we knew of, and she was just out visiting a friend. A Dollar General store in the area provided the cops with a video of her at around 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock the night of July the 28th. Her friend said that she was sitting in his driveway when he let his dogs out about 5:30 that morning, said that she waved back at him and pulled out of the driveway, said she was on her tablet or phone most of the time. She was at his house, and she backed out of the driveway, and that's the last that he had seen of her.
We know Rhonda told her grandmother that she would be home late, probably in the early morning hours, and that she never made it. They got in touch with the friend Rhonda had planned to visit in order to see if he had any information.
My sister, at this time, keep in mind, it's 2 days later. My sister and her son and Rhonda's son, Ryan, went to Steve's house. They asked him about if he had seen Rhonda Faye. He said she was at my house. Said she left, and I looked out at 5:30 to let my dog out. She was sitting in my driveway at 5:30 that morning. That's what he said. At 5:30, the Sunday morning that she was there, he said, but that's the last I saw her. I said, I went back to bed, and I don't know what time she actually left. So they left, and then a cop come down there to question me. Well, the guy wasn't there at the time when the cop got there, but a neighbor come over and told the cop that Steve had been out of town for 2 days. My question is, why did he go out of town? These are just things that go through my mind, you know, questions that I have.
Initially, Rhonda's car was also missing, but it was located several days later, not far from her friend Steve's house.
We couldn't find her car. At that time, her car, everything was gone. And we didn't know where it was at. Did she take off and go somewhere? Well, 5 days later, her car was found 1.3 miles from Steve's house. Her phone, her iPad were not with it. Just her car. No keys. All personal effects were gone.
Nikki told us more about the car.
The car was facing where she would have went to go to my grandmother's house. I believe LMPD found it. They said that it had actually been sitting there for a couple of days before they realized that it was her car. They impounded it.
It isn't clear how long Rhonda's car was there. Was it there the entire time? Could it have been placed there later? Rhonda disappeared late Saturday night into Sunday, with her friend saying that she left around 5:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. While her family was searching the area near where her car was found, they spoke to someone who worked at a plant nearby, and they said they remember the car being there when they came to work on Monday morning. When Rhonda's car was found, they thought there was a strong possibility that she could be in the area, so the police and family searched for her.
The police did 2 aerial searches in the woods by where her car was found. We have done 2 on-foot searches. We've had, a lantern release. You know, we announced it on Facebook that a lantern release to light her way home. Nikki's got a Facebook page, Rhonda Day Missing. She's also got a video on YouTube about her missing, just trying to get the story out and get people to hear it, because you never know when that one person might see it that might know something. We went to, stores and everything, try to get video cameras. We've checked out any kind of if somebody said they thought they saw her, we'd go to that place and look at cameras, and, it never was her. The only thing that we didn't do that I wish we'd had the money to do was hire a private investigator.
Nikki told us that they had help from the family of another missing woman in the area in their searches for Rhonda.
We searched around 7 miles around where her car was found. We had 2 searches. The first one, only a handful of people showed up. We searched, as far as we could then. A couple days later, we did another search, and we had complete total strangers. People from Crystal Rogers search came up. They, were definitely willing to help. We had around 70 people. We searched 7 miles every which way of where her car was found and didn't find anything. And then the police also did an aerial search twice, and nothing turned up.
Police also told Rhonda's family that they searched Rhonda's friend Steve's home, property, and vehicle using dogs. Missing along with Rhonda were her phone and an iPad. Her family hoped that those items would yield some electronic clues as to where Rhonda could be. Here's Melissa.
I don't know. It's been over a year now, and Rhonda Faye didn't take her charger. So if she didn't take her charger, she wasn't planning to be gone long. Not only not take the charger, but since her iPad and her phone were missing as well, if you were going to be gone and you were going to take your phone and your iPad, would be because you were planning to use it. Well, her iPhone or iPad, either one, has never been used since. You know, we got the phone company to tell us where. The last phone call she made was to my mother, the one she made at 11:30. That was the last phone call she made, and they tried pinging her phone, and they said it was dead, evidently, because she didn't have a charger with her.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Rhonda's friend Shelley wonders how Rhonda's car came to be where it was found. Is it possible that Rhonda drove off and ran out of gas or had car trouble? If that happened, could she have accepted a ride from someone else? Why wouldn't she have just walked the 1.3 miles back to her friend's house?
They found the car, and, you know, I still to this day don't really know if that car was out of gas or if it wasn't. You know, did they check that? Did they ever find out if she ran out of gas or, you know, was the car just sitting there on the side of the road, still had gas in it or? And again, they might know that answer, but I never heard, you know, whether they ever found that out or if they didn't.
Melissa told us that Rhonda had struggled with addiction years ago, and she's concerned that it could have played a role in her disappearance.
She did have a drug problem years ago, and she had gotten clean, and somebody had recently told me that they thought that she had gotten back into it a little. So what that plays in the disappearance, I don't know.
We also talked to Rhonda's brother, Michael, and he helped shed some more light on this aspect of Rhonda's life.
Well, I guess I spent more time with her than I did anybody else in between the time that I was 13 and up until she disappeared. She was my best friend. She's my sister. She's 10 years older than me. We did a lot of bad stuff together, illegal stuff, you know. We used drugs together, and that was the basis of our friendship, mostly. But we had a good time with each other, you know. She loved to laugh. You know, we had about the same sense of humor about things, you know, the stupid things that would be, you know, we would think so funny, the same TV shows and stuff like that. You know, she was brought up the same way I was, with our mother being a Christian, a saint. I mean, our mother is. But now she was like 10 years older when my dad left. Whereas I was only 3 when my dad left, she was 13. So it was a lot harder on her And I'm sure that had a role to play in a lot of the things in her life, as she had told me that it did. She had a hard way to go about things because of, I mean, some of the choices that she's made, and she was always wanting, you know, a way out of the mess that she was in, which was, you know, life just barely scraping by and stuff like that. After high school, well, she got pregnant when she was a senior. Pretty sure she was a senior. She got pregnant. She dropped out. Eventually, she got her GED, worked various jobs, I guess. She was a really good waitress whenever she did waitress in different places. She always did well there. Not long after that, she met her first husband and married to him for a while, and he was abusive. She had her son, and you know, she didn't stay with his dad, with her son's dad. Eventually, she got married and to this other guy, and he turned out to be like his drug kingpin or something like that. She finally got away from him after years. And then she was a CNA for a while, working with the elderly at Green Meadows in Bardstown. She really, now, out of everything that she's ever done, like work-wise, she actually enjoyed that job. Like, she did love the old people. Her son, he's done grown and had a baby and got married and stuff like that. But, like, he was, like, an active role in her granddaughter's life. Like, she was always babysitting her and while they were at work and stuff. You know, she had some legal troubles that had came up, you know, right before she disappeared.
Michael says that Rhonda's drug of choice was opiates, and that they both became addicted around the same time.
Well, we both smoked pot for, you know, she smoked pot for years and years and years. I don't really remember how we started using pain pills, but I remember that we started using them both around the same time. Now, I mean, she did have a car wreck and broke her collarbone and got some pain pills.
Michael says that Rhonda going to hang out with friends in the evening, like she did on the night she disappeared, was not out of the ordinary for her. But not returning home was certainly out of character for his sister.
This is nothing abnormal for her to go and stay all night somewhere and hang out. But that is the extent. She always is home in the morning. I mean, most times she's back that night, but I mean, the very next morning by sunrise, I mean, she's always back home. She hadn't returned any of my calls or anything. I started asking questions because I didn't know where she was, you know, and that was weird. I mean, I always knew where she was or something, and I found out. We went up there, and she wasn't there. Her phone had been turned off by this time. We couldn't get a hold of her by phone. It was going straight to voicemail, and it was okay for like a minute or two for that to happen, but a couple hours and it's still going straight to voicemail, you know, she would have charged her phone by now. And me and her son went up to this guy's house, and he said, yeah, she was here. She left the next morning, and that was all he could tell us. We're looking, you know, me and my mother drove up there also, was like looking for the car off the side of the road or something, thinking maybe, you know. When they found the car, they let my nephew know that they had found the car, and we rushed up there towards it. I was thinking that the cops were still going to be there or something, but they weren't. They just left the car where it was, which I thought was odd. And then me and my nephew played detective ourselves, looking, you know, not thinking, you know, that we needed to like preserve. It could have been a crime. It could have been a crime scene, you know, but you know, the cops alerted us that they found the car, told us where it was. We went and found the car. Of course, there was no keys, no purse, no phone. And then we rolled up the back window and left it. I don't remember if we locked the doors after that or not. But anyways, and my nephew had went back up there that night because he was like pretty much like staking out the car, you know, like I don't know where he was sitting, but he was watching to see if, you know, maybe his mom would come back to the car or something like that. And then that's when my nephew called the cops for some reason while he was up there. And then, like, the cop that he talked to then was like, well, they didn't understand why they didn't impound it right then to take it for evidence.
The friend that Rhonda was going to see seems like a bit of a mystery in this story. We don't know a whole lot about him. Michael says that he did meet this friend before, but still doesn't know much about Steve. He also doesn't know just how well Rhonda knew him either.
He parties from time to time because I partied with him once, you know, with my sister and him. I spoke with him during, you know, before we found the car and stuff like that. You know, I actually asked him if I could look in his garage, and I wish I would have looked in his, been able to look in his house. But, yeah, I don't know much about him really, except that he has worked. I guess he's always worked, but I do know that he parties, but he doesn't want people to know that he parties.
One thing that's confused Rhonda's family is that her friend Steve, the man she had gone to visit the night she disappeared, has not participated in any searches for her and has never called to see if Rhonda's been found or to inquire about her case at all. The police offered to give him a polygraph, and we know polygraphs are inadmissible and often unreliable, but regardless, Steve refused to take one and got a lawyer, which he has every right to do. But those actions do raise suspicions amongst those searching for Rhonda, because they feel that a genuine friend would do anything they could to help find her. Rhonda's brother Michael wrestles with the different theories as to what may have happened to his sister. On one hand, he thinks she could have left on her own accord. But on the other hand, he doesn't believe his sister is the kind of person who would leave her family to worry about her for this long.
I got all kinds of theories, but I mean, I really think I know my sister, all right? The thing is she left her house traveling very light. There was stuff that was left on her bed, like backpacks and stuff like this, that she took everywhere with her. When she was going to go hang out somewhere or something, this stuff she would have always taken with her. But she had just taken a few things out of them, like such as her iPad, just very few things. There were things that she took with her everywhere that she did not take with her. Like, I feel like she left the house knowing that she wasn't coming back for a while. I don't know. Because for her not to call her grandmother to let her know that she's all right is just, I can't see that at all. But the things around her disappearance that I think, you know, that may or may not have anything to do with her disappearance. Like a week before her disappearance, a week, 2 weeks, somewhere, she had gotten pulled over and taken to jail and caught at least one new felony charge. Okay. She got out on a surety bond. And then a few days later is when she had left to go stay with this friend. So I think that maybe she had a plan because she was facing, like, the following Monday, I think it was, she was going to be in trouble. She was supposed to report to MCR or whatever. And if she didn't pee clean, then she was going to, you know, she's going to be in a lot of trouble. I don't think she planned on coming back right then. But I think maybe something might have went wrong. I believe that was maybe her intentions, yes. But that is not like my sister. Like, that is something that maybe I would have done to just, like, break contact with everybody and not tell nobody I'm okay. I mean, people would have expected something like that from me, but my sister, she was a homebody. You know, she liked being at home. But now, I mean, with threat of jail time, you know, and being high and on drugs, you know, you might, you know, there ain't no telling what a person would do. I've done things I thought I would never do. So I think she was running, but I don't think that's really what, I think something went wrong or something. Because I just don't see her not saying nothing to none of her family, not reaching out and just letting us know that, you know, she's okay.
While we were speaking with Michael, he mentioned a purse that the police recovered and thought could have been Rhonda's.
I mean, they brought out a purse at one time. I remember a purse was found. My mom had to come look at it to see if they thought it might have been hers. And there was pieces of a cell phone in something that was found with this purse, which could have possibly been hers. Could have. But there was no pieces, no iPad or nothing like that. But I remember now thinking about the picture of that purse, and I think this purse was like a purple or a dark red or something like that, and we just always remember her with black purses. I mean, it very well could have been. We just didn't think it was hers just because my grandma seen her last, I guess, of the people that we know that we know would be telling us the truth no matter what, my grandma. And I think my grandma's the one that said that she was, you know, wearing all black, carrying a black purse.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. We contacted the Louisville Metro Police Department, who are the ones handling Rhonda's case, and they granted us an interview. We spoke to Detective Smith briefly because we caught him as he was going into a meeting, but he explained to us how his department became involved with the case.
The report originally came out of Lebanon Junction, the town she's from. They had the report, and then we had located, maybe a week later, we had located her car in Metro Louisville, and then from that point, we figured she went missing from here, so we took over the investigation. It was just located abandoned on a road here in Metro Louisville, so we learned that the car was still drivable. But every case is different. It just depends on the information we have when we get the report. If we know they have a cell phone, then we'll try to ping phones, and if we know their last known location, then we'll search that area. But everyone's a little different. Any tips or leads that would, send us in a direction that would help us figure out where she's at or what happened to her would be great.
Rhonda's family keeps hearing various rumors about what happened to her, and they make an effort to check out each and every rumor. You just never know when one of these leads will prove to be valuable.
There's been people have even said, maybe she went into witness protection, and things like that. Every kind of thing has come out that they say. But you hear so many things. And we would even hear, oh, she's hiding out in rural somewhere. So we'd say, where'd you hear that from? They'd give us a name. And they'd say, well, we're going to send a cop to their house and talk to them because we're not going to stop until somebody tells us where she's hiding out at. Well, then it would be, well, I just heard from this friend, I heard from this friend, I heard from that person. And it was, it's all false leads. But you have to check everything out. You can't let anything go that you don't question.
While speaking to various members of Rhonda's family, one thing was very clear. They all continue to be hopeful that Rhonda will be found alive. Rhonda's cousin Nikki says that she has conflicting feelings about what may have happened to Rhonda.
I pray every day that she is out there. I don't want to give up hope, but at the same time, it's been almost a year and a half, and, you know, we've heard nothing. And that is totally not like her, so I don't know. I just feel like somebody out there knows something.
One frustration for Nikki is that she keeps trying really hard to get Rhonda's story out there. She believes that a member of the public may know something or may have seen something. She says that despite her efforts, no one seems to want to cover Rhonda's case.
I know I've tried to get her story out there. I have been the one to push her story to get it out there to every news channel, social media, everything, trying to get her story out there because I feel like that hers was just kept so quiet. A news channel did broadcast her story one time. Fox 41 did when she first went missing. Since then, I have sent emails and phone calls and everything trying to get her story out there. When she was missing a year, we had a lantern release to light her path home. They didn't show up for that. I begged them again. The media wouldn't. So, and hers hasn't. It really hasn't. I have put the blood, sweat, and tears into this trying to get her story out there. You know, on the lantern release, like I said, I begged them. We had shirts made. You know, we did have a pretty good turnout. Maybe 30, 40 people came out. We lit lanterns for her, which was very touching. And I'm the one that made up that Facebook group, and I was thankful for that, too. I had somebody from one of the news where I had commented on that. They've reached out to me. They helped me create that Facebook page. It's got almost 300 members. I think it's 299. Yeah, it's definitely been hard. I feel like that if it was me, I would want somebody to push for me as well.
So what happened to Rhonda Day after she left to visit a friend on the evening of July 28th, 2018? We know that evening she had stopped at a gas station and a Dollar General before arriving at her friend's house. She called her grandmother from her friend's home around 11:30 p.m. and said that she'd be home in the early morning hours, probably between 3 and 4 a.m. This is the last activity on Rhonda's cell phone. Her friend says that he last saw her when he went to let his dogs out on the morning of the 29th, around 5:30 a.m. He said that it looked like she was using her tablet or phone. He waved to her and she waved back. Rhonda never made it home that morning, and several days later, on August 3rd, her car was located just 1.3 miles from her friend's house. Missing along with Rhonda are her phone, iPad, and keys. After her car was located, the area was searched extensively, yielding no new clues as to what may have happened to Rhonda. Her friend's home and property were also searched. More than a year and a half has passed since Rhonda disappeared, and not many clues have surfaced after her car was located. Her family has gotten tips, but none of them have panned out and are likely just rumors. If Rhonda did leave her friend's home that morning, could she have had car trouble or run out of gas? Would she have taken a ride from a stranger? Could someone have flagged her down and she stopped to help? Is Rhonda even the person who left the car there? Could something have happened at her friend's house and her car was staged? And what about what Michael said about Rhonda's very recent drug-related charges? Could she just be out there somewhere running away from that? Could she have staged her own disappearance? Right now, Rhonda's family is desperate for some new tips and leads to come in. They're hoping that something new could point them in a direction where they can keep searching. They're remaining hopeful that she's still out there somewhere alive. At the time of her disappearance, Rhonda was 42 years old. She was 5'2" tall and weighed around 185 pounds, with strawberry blonde hair and green eyes. If you have any information about Rhonda Day's disappearance, you're urged to call the Louisville Metro Police Department at 502-574-7111. And their anonymous tip line is 502-574-LMPD. You can follow Rhonda's case on social media at Rhonda Day Missing on Facebook.
I don't know. I have no idea. All I can say is I pray that she comes back home and she's okay. But as far as really what happened, I mean, I guess everybody has their own little theory of maybe what could have, but not knowing for sure, I would hate to say anything for sure. I have no idea. I miss her a whole lot, and I hope this reaches out to somebody that might come up with some answers or that might be listening, and that somebody might share with the family or the police that can help us find Rhonda.
That brings us to the end of episode 215. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Tennessee. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.